Welcome. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2008. We have a show today that we're going to do. It's kind of been an impromptu show that we set up today to discuss some of the deceptions and tricks going around out there that people should be aware of at this point, but a lot of people aren't. And we've got a great guest on the show. We've had him once before on here, and his name is Eric Hushman. Now, Eric Hushman is one of the very few people out here that is doing the work that explains the deceptions and tricks. Anybody out here can go through the history of the criminal Zionist mafia or whatever have you. They can talk about facts and history. But to actually protect yourself and to actually learn how these people work, this is what Eric does. He's probably one of the very few people out here I've ever even seen do this. And we welcome you today on the show today, Eric. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
We got a few topics we want to bring up today, and I appreciate you doing this on short notice. And one of them we'll start off with is this Anthony Mura, gentleman that was, I'll give you a little background. He's a World War II vet, and looks like his history has been fighting Zionism for a long time now. To bring this up to speed for everybody out here so they can understand what's going on with this, and then we can talk about how these deceptions and tricks are working in his area, is that he contacted me, or a friend of his, and I can't recall this guy's name, but it's a friend of his that is always around him and pretending to be his friend. And this guy contacted me and was like, oh, I like that Giuliani bullhorny thing you did. And they tried warming up to me, trying to be friends, and they wanted to even call themselves Pro-Think Chapter down there in Massachusetts. And I said, well, you know, I would prefer you stay independent, because that's obviously we've been a theme at ProThink, is for everybody to go independent and put out their own information. And so as of recently, they stripped off all his work, Tony's work off the site. And I've talked to Tony, and Tony's never been too happy with this guy. He says, you know, the guy charged me $1,300 to build a free Blogspot site. And now all of a sudden this guy is like totally talking for Tony, using his email, putting out his own work, and basically dovetailing his name. And I've never heard anything positive. Now, this could be an incident where we have this guy's basically manipulating Tony. And these are some of the things that have been going on, and we need to look out for tricks like this. Could you explain how, Eric, how this works? You know, these people like to warm up to you, and they like to pretend to be your friend, and then they trick you.
Well, yeah, I've been getting this since 2002. What they always start off is they're nice people. They want to be your friend. They want to help you. Depending on what you want, you know, depending on what your help, what you need, they'll give it to you. Even if it's money, they don't. A lot of people will wonder, well, why would somebody give you money if you need money? You know, but they've got money. What's the big deal? People don't understand. If they can get somebody like Bolin for even $10,000, that's a deal. $10,000, you get to kidnap somebody? So you got to realize they're, you know, they want to get all of us. And what they do, whenever they see somebody who is a potential threat to them, they are like mosquitoes or ticks or fleas going after them, trying to be their friend, tell them what they want, you know, praise them, trying to become a friend of theirs so that they can figure out what to do next, because they usually don't know. I don't think they know immediately what to do. They first have to get to know you. What are your weaknesses? What are you doing with your life? What are you planning to do? Do you have any health problems? They love to ask that question. They don't ask if you have health problems. They'll just ask you how your health is. They're looking for something to exploit. And if you're married, they might try to break your marriage up. If you've got a job and it's at a company where they have people, then they might try to get you fired. And so the first thing they're doing is simply monitoring. And so you can't really tell that there's something wrong. They look like ordinary people at first. They're just watching you and checking you out and becoming your friend. And you have to be suspicious of everybody in order to protect yourself from this type of a trick. Because there's nothing to give it away that there's something wrong here. The only thing that would give it away is that these are strangers who suddenly like you and they're giving you praise. That's the only way you'd realize something is wrong. And you'd have to ask yourself, would I treat a complete stranger like this? Would I be this friendly and praising him all the time and offering to help somebody I don't know? And they don't usually tell you much about themselves. That's the other thing to watch out for.
And Eric, this is, like I've talked to you before, that I pretty heavily go on MySpace and try to inform a lot of people on there. Now, I don't agree with the people that own it or whatever have you, but it is a tool, another tool out there that I use to inform people on a lot of things. And, you know, like, say, for instance, on there, an old trick is to set up a bogus profile, and then they go out and slander you. You know, this is, they try to discredit you with things like this. But, you know, that's just one incident. But, you know, it's an old saying that don't trust anybody who smiles too much. You know, why are they being friendly? This isn't the kind of environment where you're making friends. You're getting a message, you're deciphering it, you're critically thinking through it, looking at the facts. It's not about the messenger, and this is something we've always been pushing. Push the message, never push a messenger, you know, because you never know when somebody's going to be compromised. I mean, look what happened to Tony now. This friend of his down there is charging him an arm and a leg to set up a free website. Tony never sounded too happy with this guy, and now all of a sudden this guy is representing Tony like this is his liaison or something, you know, and this is a trick right here that I'm looking at as being compromising Tony's efforts in this. And it's like you're saying, you can't just trust anybody out here. You can't trust anybody at all. I mean,
it's like a war. If you got to visualize this. This is truly a war. They are killing us. And you have to picture yourself on a battlefield, and somebody, total stranger, comes up and starts saying, "Oh, hi, how are you doing? Do you need any help?" You'd have to ask yourself, you're in the middle of a battle, and this guy comes up and he's your best friend, and you don't know who he is, you know nothing about him. I mean, think about it. If you're in a battle and you meet somebody like that, you'd have to wonder. You'd think, this guy's a spy.
Or even, I've even furthered that analogy before, where if you're on a battlefield and somebody that's in your platoon is trying to do the same to you, like they're presenting themselves that, well, we're on the same side, we're in the same army, you know, we're fighting the same enemies, but you never get anywhere, and you try to figure out why, and then you're emotionally wrapped up in this person being in the same side as you. You automatically trust them because, you know, it's just like everybody out there, that a lot of people out here will give you 90% truth, and the 10% rat poison, the effectiveness is still going to be the same. It's going to kill it, and that's what these people do. You know, it's exactly correct on that. Now to get into the incident with Bolin here, we've been talking and I've been getting contacted quite recently, several weeks ago, by a guy named James Phillips. Now,
did he contact you on his own, or did you contact him first?
No, he contacted me. He sent me an email, and it was basically at first trying to persuade me not to promote the idea that Bolin is kidnapped. Now, this is another thing, too, that Tony Mira's friend has had discussions with me about, too. He's also said, no, Bolin's not kidnapped. And he, you know, I had discussions with him on the phone about this same incident with Bolin being kidnapped. He said, well, I tried to offer Bolin information. He didn't use it, so he's not kidnapped. It's just a big scam. And, you know, he would never tell me the information. He'd lie and he'd dance around the questions. He would never provide any information. And it just reinforced the fact that, you know, hey, I don't care if the guy's trying to be my friend. I don't care if the guy's like, oh, what you did is awesome. It was great. You know, we want to call ourselves pro things. It's exactly like you're saying. They're trying to warm up and be my friend. And I'm not looking for friends, you know. I'm looking to get the information.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, this is
not a matchmaking situation here.
Exactly. So this is what happened with James Phillips. You know, he tried to warm up to me. Oh, your work is excellent. You know, he's stroking my ego on things, and I don't need that. First of all, I don't want anybody stroking my ego on none of this work. I want people to go out there and do it themselves too, and get this information out. I don't need anybody to praise me for anything, call me their hero or none of this stuff. I'm sure you feel the same way. It's about getting this information out. Like I said, it's a battle. You know, and for these people to come up and, oh, you're doing great. By the way, you should probably link to Bolin's, because this big issue was I was linking the work that Bolin does to your site, and he didn't like that. And he started sending me more emails, and I consulted you, and I consulted Converse, and I talked to you guys and a couple other people, and I said, you know, this is real fishy. This guy's, you know, saying things, and then all of a sudden he writes an intimidating email about how my birthday didn't match up with one site to another, and basically trying to let me know that he's watching the information that I have about myself out there. And I disclosed my whole history to him. I said, hey, there's no, you know, if this is an attempt for you to say that you, that could be blackmail for something, there's nothing I'm going to hide from anybody. So there's, you know, they're looking for vulnerabilities in what I have, and they're not, it's not working.
Well, you also have to see, this is another thing people have to realize. If you're trying to expose all these crimes, and someone like James Phillips contacts you for, and if you didn't ask for the contact, you know, you got to ask yourself, why did he even notice you? Why is he contacting you? Why is he trying to influence you? See, that's the other thing. He's trying to influence you.
Well, let me get back. Actually, I didn't contact him. What we did is me and Converse initially, because maybe this is why he contacted me. Me and Converse initially tried to contact Bolin through Bolin's supposed email. And we said, hey, Bolin, we see that you're asking for money and you're broke under the pretensions that you're not kidnapped. We would like to offer you to do a public speech or even do an interview or something that we can confirm that you're not, you know, the accusations of you being kidnapped is untrue. And we never received, and we both sent them, you know, said, well, whatever off money you need to do this, we'd be willing to pay for this. You know, so there was no excuse for him not to be able to reply and say, well, you know, I can't do this for this reason or not. And then that's when James Phillips contacted us.
Wow, that is really, that is almost a sign that Phillips is getting the emails that you send to Bolin, and he's the guy who is going to respond to them.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't look good.
No.
And see, this is the other thing. Phillips was at 4 days, all 4 days of Bolin's trial. He admits this. It's on the, Bolin posted a little message that he had written himself. He was at all 4 days of Bolin's trial. And after the trial was over, I asked Bolin, well, can you give us a description? And he told me, well, his lawyer said he's not allowed to talk, but so Bolin says, I can't talk, but you could ask either Linda Shelton or James Phillips, and they'll certainly provide a description. So I sent an email to Phillips. You know, this is back in whenever the trial was over. I forget now. But Phillips wouldn't give me a description. When I sent him an email message, this is the first time I had ever even heard of the man. So I sent him a message, could you give a description of what the trial was? And he wouldn't do it. He turned me down. So think about this. This guy went to all 4 days of the trial. For what reason? He was there, and then when I asked him, well, could you give us a description? No, he won't give a description. And then if what you're saying is that, you know, you contact Bolin, and then he contacts you, if we were police detectives, this would be one of the prime suspects for where Bolin, you know, who kidnapped Bolin. How obvious does it have to get? This guy's at the trial. This guy won't talk to anybody. And look at what he also says, what he did. He brought groceries over one day to the Bolins, and he'd love to help them even more if he had the money. He's being their friend. And he's getting into their life to some extent. And so here we have somebody who's there helping them out, buying them groceries. He appears to have a lot of concern about them. But then when we ask him, well, can you help us and describe what's going on with the Bolins or describe the trial? No, he won't give us any help.
Yeah, he completely averted any questioning that would confirm the safety of Bolin at all. Like, and he would flip it back around trying to dig more information out of myself. And it was totally suspicious the way he was doing that. I mean, he was doing it in a very nefarious manner, the way he was, you know, orchestrating these emails.
Well, it's all a sign that he wasn't really one of the Bolin family's friends at all. It was all a setup to get to know them and to fool them into trusting him. And this is what's also interesting. You know, see, Bolin, his problem was he was always too trusting. I was always telling him, oh, you can't trust so-and-so or this or that person. And, you know, he would always respond, oh, you're so suspicious. Well, look at what happens if you aren't suspicious. He's gone. Where is he? You know, he trusted some people like Phillips and Shelton. He trusted even Professor Stephen Jones. I told him, you can't trust Jones either. Look who he's hanging around with. And Bolin was responsible. Yeah, I know he hangs around with Hoffman and the others, but I think he's honest. Well, if somebody is hanging around with a known liar and a known Zionist agent, you can't assume that that other person's honest. You have to assume they're all working together, whether it's because they want to or whether they're threatened. It doesn't matter. You have to avoid all of them.
And wouldn't you agree? This is a very good point that we've been trying to make over at ProThink, is that to stay independent. You know what I mean? Don't tie yourself in with people. I mean, you can make alliances as far as the message goes. You know, like somebody's putting out a good message, that's fine. You can alliance with these people, but to trust people right off the bat because they're giving you a portion of the truth, they're being friendly. This is an old trick in the book. You can make this claim with, you know, as simple as a neighbor. You know, as a neighbor being friendly, and then they start taking everything out of your house for you. You know, and it's an old trick, and especially with the stakes that are at this game, you can't trust anybody. And I think you've probably caught a lot of slack for calling out people in the past, and a lot of people say, "Oh, Eric just thinks everybody's working for him." Well, you know what? If it wasn't for the work that you've done saying these things and exposing them, everybody'd be fooled by all these people, you know. And
maybe a lot more kidnapped people. But see, Ron Paul is doing the same thing. Alex Jones is pushing Ron Paul still, and it's the same thing. He says a few nice things, promises you a few things like getting rid of the income tax. He's like somebody handing candy out to you. Oh, elect me, I'll take away your taxes. You don't have to pay taxes anymore. I mean, it's like an adult giving candy out to children. And the people follow him like fools, just like kids following an adult offering them candy. You can't trust anybody, like you say. You're a fool to do this. You've got to be more suspicious. You don't just follow somebody because they say something good, especially if they're not even the creator of what they're saying. If all they're doing is posting it from somebody else or plagiarizing it, then you're a real sucker. I mean, if you're not even following the source of the information, and all you're doing is following a plagiarizer, it's pretty sad.
And
that's what most people are doing. They don't differentiate between the person who comes up with the information and the person who just steals it. That's what that's another of their tricks, you see. Whenever somebody comes up with something on their website, they'll do a similar thing on theirs to draw people away. You see, whenever we talk about Zionism, it puts pressure on the others to do it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They'll try to do something similar to draw people over to them. And you got to keep in mind, who's the real source here of information? And who's just taking it and using it as bait to lure you over to them?
Well, isn't that how Loose Change was completely created in the first place?
That's what I think. Well, Dave Von Kleist came out with his In Plain Sight video, which... if you've seen the very first In Plain Sight video, it was not much different from mine. It was just basically mine taking out, you know, if you took my video and then pulled out some material and then added in the pod theory, a few other things, you basically ended up with what he had.
Yep.
And I think what it wasn't an attempt to improve anything. It was an attempt to draw people away from me.
And then
Loose Change did the same thing. Loose Change is... the next version of an attempt to draw people away. And what you can see is going on right now is they're pushing Loose Change all over the planet. In Europe, Japan, Australia.
Canada.
And people have the hardest time understanding, why would they do this? Why would they expose their own crime? Because it puts them in control. It puts them in control of everything. The investigation, the news reporting, the police departments. They're in control of everything. If they can be in control of the 9/11 groups, who don't they have control over? They will then decide who was responsible for 9/11. They'll make the decision, and it will be George Bush and whoever else they want to get rid of, whoever else they're willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
We will be losers again.
And they'll even burn a couple of their own to make it look legitimate, because they do an excellent job of creating artificial credibility. You know, they'll have one of their own, like Alex will get arrested in New York, and oh, look, I got arrested, I'm credible, the system hates me, or, you know, they'll do these things where they'll set up staged artificial credibility building events, and then so-and-so happened to him, or, this and this and that. It doesn't prove anything.
That's a good point you bring up. They're doing this a lot right now. Oh, my phones are clicking. Oh, it's the CIA. The CIA is picking on me. What difference does it make? We're having a battle, and they're trying to get us to feel sorry for them because their phones click, or because, some other silly little thing. They'll make it sound like, oh, I'm suffering. Obviously, the powers that be want to stop me. But you got to realize they're not suffering. Christopher Bolin is suffering. They're not suffering. Think about it. When have you ever seen Alex Jones suffer? He hasn't suffered. His kid's not suffering. His wife isn't suffering. None of these people are suffering. It's Christopher Bolin who's suffering. And it's all a ploy. It's a trick to make you feel sorry for them. Anybody can say, oh, I got clicking on my phone. Give me money. Buy my video. This is stupid. Look at the information they're providing. They've got nothing.
Or the lack of information they're providing, too.
Yeah, or if they do have information, ask, where did it come from? Is it theirs, or did they just take it from somebody else and use it as bait? And you know, so what people have to be much more discriminating, much more, they have to raise their standards for everything. You know, don't use excuses like, oh, well, maybe he just doesn't know any better. Maybe he's just stupid. Maybe he's new. You've got to start asking yourself, why are you following somebody who is that stupid? If they're that stupid, you don't follow them. You know, if Alex Jones really doesn't, to this day, know what's going on, then you turn away from him on the grounds that this guy is a loser. You know, he's been in it for 15 years, and he knows less than the rest of us who've been in it for less time. So just what you got, people have to do is realize you don't follow somebody who doesn't know more than you do, who can't do more than you. You don't follow Ron Paul and then hope that maybe he'll turn out good. And if you know more than Ron Paul, you should be the leader, not Ron Paul.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just wrote an article about that, you know, where I stated out three different types of groups. I said, you got your shills, you got your cowards, and you got your useful idiots. And none of the three should be tolerated in this war at all. And it's like, I made that exact same point too. It's like, you know, if you know more than these people that you're supporting, why aren't you making the movies? Why aren't you putting out the books? How come you don't have a radio show? How come you aren't doing this? You got to look at that. These people are being funded to do this. That's exactly what they're set up to do. I mean, Alex Jones, like I said, has been in the game for almost 15 years. He's not a dummy. He's not a dummy by any means. And you got to be pretty silly to look at the information and go, well, how come he's not talking about it? Well, maybe he's scared. You're making excuses again, and This is not the game to be making excuses for people. You know, it's like I just put out a bulletin about Aaron Russo. I actually got some of the work off of your website at erichuffschmidt.net about Aaron Russo defending himself about the Rockefellers being richer than the Rothschilds, and he was totally trying to deflect information away from the Rothschilds. And, you know, I got an attack, and somebody tried to make an excuse for it. Well, he's dead, but he can't defend himself. I said, so if Bush dies, you're not going to talk about Bush ever again because Bush is dead and he can't defend himself. No, it's because you don't see that Aaron Russo was criminally complicit with these people and trying to cover up stuff. It isn't, well, you know?
That's a good point. This business where someone's dead, you shouldn't talk about him. That's what they say about Dan Wallace. Oh, the guy is dead. How can you say bad things about him? Well, so what if he's dead?
Yeah.
You ought to bring up, how did he die?
Exactly. It's not even that you're saying something bad about him. It's you want to investigate a crime, a possible crime.
Yeah, and they're saying stuff like, "Oh, he's dead. It's causing grief for the family." Well, if I had a family member die mysteriously, it's hardly grief when someone asks, "Why did he die?"
Exactly.
So people have to. These are mostly tricks. They're mostly emotional manipulation. This is what you have to watch for. People who try to manipulate your emotions, not your intellect. And that's what these people are using. That's their technique. To make you feel sorry for them, to make you feel badly for what you're doing. And you have nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. There's nothing wrong with investigating. Because remember, we're in a battle. This is not a matchmaking service where we're looking for friends or wives or something. This is a battle. And we don't want to be victims. You don't want to fall for their tricks of doing nothing. The other thing that you'll see the Alex Jones and the others do, they want you to be scared to death of everything. They want you to buy a gun and then hide and live in fear in your house. You know, their solution is get a gun and then what? Live in fear. What is that? That doesn't solve the problem. While you're hiding in your house with your gun, the Rothschilds are still running the banks. Israel is still trying to get a war going over in the Middle East in Kosovo. You know, all the other Zionist Jews are out there doing their stuff. We haven't accomplished anything by hiding in the house with a gun. You see, but that's what they want you to do. They try to encourage fear. They try to encourage you to be, like, paralyzed, worried about this new world order. And you have to realize we're going to die anyway. Quit worrying about it. Get some more people on our side.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
They try to incapacitate you with that fear. You know, it's another play on an emotion, just like you're saying. You know, it's fear mongering. It's an old adage. Oh, be scared of this. You know, this is one small bully on a playground. And I guarantee you stand up and pop him in the nose, you're going to see how quickly this thing could go down if you stood up and stopped being played for these tricks and deceptions.
Yeah, that's what's amazing when you realize how quick we could put an end to this. If we could just get the police, the military, and some of the other people to realize they're being used. They're suckers. And I don't know what it is with the Chicago police. It's possible that, you know, like Alice Jones says, they've been in control so long that they've only hired criminals. It's possible, you know, that some of these cities, they won't hire honest people or people with intelligence in the police force. That's what Alex says. But you see, Alex is always saying it's the they. He says, they do this. Well, what he really means is we. When Alex says they, what he really means is we, me and my friends in the Zionist movement. But some of what he says may be the truth. They have had control of the police departments for so long that they're pushing away anybody who's honest. And they're filling the police force with imbeciles, drug addicts, who knows what, and that may be how they end up with so much control over these police departments. And, you know, and the police, they have to think about something. Their reputation comes from them. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from people who complain about the police. The police are entirely, 100% responsible for their reputation. They are the ones in control of what they do. Not me, not you. It's them. And if they don't want to live, you know, with people looking down on them, then they've got to start behaving respectably. We don't mind if they make mistakes. We don't care if they occasionally make a bad judgment. We all do that. But they are supporting organized crime, and there is no excuse for that. They are not policemen if they do that. They're not simply making mistakes. They are criminals. And this is what they have to realize. They are criminals for supporting this network. They're criminals for letting Christopher Bolin get kidnapped. They don't understand this. They are accessories to a kidnapping, and they're doing nothing about it. The whole police force ought to be ashamed of themselves. Well, think about this. I mean, if you were a policeman and you saw a kidnapping, you just turn your head.
It's
you
complicity.
You are an accessory to the crime.
Yeah, complicity is complacency. You know, you're filling the void to make the crime happen.
And they're not just ignoring it. They are letting it go on. They let that trial occur that doesn't make any sense. They arranged for that arrest that made no sense. They destroyed the video camera images of that arrest. They set it up. They arranged for it. They allowed it to happen. And then they wonder why crime is out of control and people have no respect for the police. How can you respect this? They are not policemen. They are criminals, organized crime gang members. And this is what people have to realize. We should not be tolerating this with our leadership or our military or our universities. Look at the university professors lying to us about history, lying to us about the Holocaust. Those are not professors. They're criminals. We've got to deal with this. We have to stop making excuses for people that are in control of us. These people have authority over us. People are spending tens of thousands of dollars to send their kids to college to do what? Learn false history? To learn lies? And then we have police forces that are protecting organized crime gangs. We have militaries that are attacking nations that never even bothered us.
So, Eric, basically what you're saying is that, you know, these police are, they're playing complicit with this kidnapping, and it's pretty clear. Why don't we, for the people out there that are new to the Bolin, because there's a lot of people out here who haven't even heard who Chris Bolin is, the work he's done, and why they would want to kidnap him. Let's have you describe some of the things and some of the work he's done and why it was so imperative for them to take him out.
Well, I first heard of him in 2002. That's when I got involved with 9/11 and all this. He was, in 2002, my impression of what was going on is that me and him were the only ones who were really trying to expose what was going on with 9/11. That's how it felt to me back in that era, back in 2002. He had just moved over to Europe because he wasn't American. He felt a little unsafe because he was getting threatened, and so he just took off over to go to Europe. So at the time I heard of him, about the spring of 2002, he was over there in Europe, and he was writing articles for the American Free Press. That was how he made a living. He was one of their reporters, and he was writing articles. You know, he was investigating 9/11 and other issues and exposing, you know, some of the problems with the official story. And he would, as time went on, he was learning about it too, because he was like the rest of us. We were learning as we were doing it. A lot of us didn't realize how big this was at first. I, for example, I thought it was just one event. I didn't realize this is a just one of many events by the same group of people. And so as we were, me and him were looking into it, you know, we'd find that there's more and more to this. He was being pushed into believing that it was what's called the City of London. And, you know, and as time went on, me and other people and himself started realizing, you know, it's not the City of London. The City of London is like the Rothschilds and the banking families, but there's more than that. There's this whole Israeli group, this Zionist group. It's more than just the Rothschilds. And so as time went on, his articles started getting more and more to who was really behind all this and how big the corruption was. And it got to the point where I guess they started to worry. You know, the information was spreading all over the world, you know, that 9/11 wasn't Arabs and it wasn't just George Bush. It was Israelis and other Jews and Zionists and the Rothschilds and the Bronfmans and the media. And so as I think they started to panic, they were thinking, we've got to shut these people up. And they were always working on both me and Boleyn in the usual method of trying to become our friends and trying to have us meet with them and that type of thing. But that didn't work for either of us, apparently, because what I guess they decided is, let's just kidnap the guy. That's all I can figure. They decided to see, they saw the opportunity after his arrest. I guess they arranged for the arrest just hoping that they could get him in jail. I don't know.
Well, but maybe at that time they were just planning on kidnapping him then, but when he reports to the police that they were outside, so there would have been documented at that point, or?
It's possible. See, it's hard to figure out why they did what they did, but you can tell that when he finally, you know, trial's all over, that's when they realized, here's an opportunity. The guy wants to leave America. How's he going to leave America? He doesn't have a lot of money. He'd already, you know, American Free Press had fired him for no apparent reason. Apparently because they were now even getting pressure to get rid of this guy. He's exposing too much. So he was fired. He was just living on donations. One of the things he had done, this is another interesting trick of deception. One of the things he was doing to make some money was edit a book. He was willing to edit things for people, books or whatever you had. And this one woman who was writing about mental health drugs, she's a doctor, and she was writing a book about them. She was she was involved with the Columbine shooting, and so she was writing a book, and she wanted Boleyn to edit the book. And so Boleyn was doing this as a fee, you know, to bring in some money. And then Mike Piper the other day brought this up on the show. He says that it turns out that she has connections with the Mossad. And what Mike Piper is trying to turn it into is that Boleyn was working with a woman with connections to the Mossad. Therefore, Boleyn is working with the Mossad. But what you see, what really it is what would make more sense is that she gave him this job because he needed it, and it gave them perhaps access to him.
Because he had a weakness at that time, a financial weakness.
Yes, and so they can then go to you. Oh, you need some money. Well, I need some editing help. Would you help me? So this woman is another one. You have to investigate everybody who was contacting Boleyn at this point in his life, because you're not sure how many were involved in his kidnapping. But you see this situation. He's in a desperate financial situation. She comes to him, you know, you can help edit my book for a fee. Well, of course he's going to take it. Well, why wouldn't he? So he takes the job, and now Mike Piper turns it into, well, he's working with a woman who's connected with the Mossad, therefore he is Mossad. Well, that doesn't, that's not the explanation. It makes more sense to say this is just one of the people trying to find out what's he doing. This gives him access to the whole family.
And not only that, but you can point out, too, that what Piper's doing here is trying to distract people away from Boland's kidnapping, playing the role with these people doing this.
Right. Well, he's trying to make it look like Boland is a Mossad agent, you see? And therefore, he's not kidnapped at all. It's all a trick. But what it really is that after he got fired, these helpful people were most likely to be Jews or their agents. And they're trying to find out his weaknesses, trying to set him up, trying to do something. And when they found out that he wants to leave, this is perfect. Now they can arrange for a trip out of the country. And it's really interesting if you look at one of the articles Boland had written a few years earlier about how people, at the time I think he thought they were CIA. You'll see those reports about the CIA using private jets to fly terrorists to
mm-hmm.
other countries. Okay, well, you know, people always think the CIA, and when you say CIA, you think Americans. But, you know, they may be Jews in America, not Americans.
Well, not only that, Eric, but to bring up a fact that I just received an article with a list of names that were actually dual citizens Israelis, their salary, the years they worked, in the CIA.
Yeah, the CIA is full of them.
Yeah.
Full of Jews, Israelis. They're so secretive. People within the CIA may not even know it. How do you know if some department has a budget, you don't know what they're doing with that money, if it's all a secret? Anyway, they arranged for Boland to fly out of Chicago somewhere around July 11th. June 11th. And they may have even picked that day. Do you see the day, June 11th? That's 6-11. They like to play with numbers, it seems like. I think that's the day they probably flew him out. Anyway, they took him over to Norway. Apparently, he landed in Norway and then went to Sweden. And where is he now? He may be over in some Russian prison. And people think Russian. Well, when you hear the word Russian, you think of Russian people. Well, this is where the Khazars come from. This place is loaded with these people that we call Ashkenazi Jews. They may have all sorts of prisons over there full of all sorts of people. Listen also to the complaints from some of the veterans of the Korean and Vietnam Wars, how they said, it seemed as if when we went into battle, the enemy knew we were coming and were waiting, as if somebody had tipped them off. And look at the complaints by some of the veterans that the prisoners of war, many of them were shipped to Russia for medical experiments. Why would the Koreans or the Vietnamese ship them to Russia, and why would the Russian people want them? It would make more sense to think it's all of these Jews doing it. They're on both sides of the war. And they're setting up the soldiers, the American soldiers, the Vietnamese soldiers, the Korean soldiers, to just kill one another. And they're also, at the same time, pulling out some of the prisoners just to bring over for experiments and torture. And this may be what's going on inside Russia. They may have prisons full of these people. And people have to start taking this seriously. Look at the reports coming from the veterans of the Vietnam and Korean Wars. All the missing prisoners, and nobody will look into where they are. Nobody cares. Where did they go? Why do we have these reports that they went to Russia? And who in Russia took them? You see, it's all a sign, that it's all more evidence that there really is something going on over there, that there really is a group putting people in prisons and doing experiments on them and torturing them, mind control experiments maybe. Who knows what? Look at the reports of all the sex slaves and the rapes that are going on. So I think people need to take this seriously. This is a serious crime, and these people, they are not going to give up. They're not. It's not going to be something easy. We can't relax on this. We've got to get this information out. Don't be afraid of them, though.
So at that point, that's where Boland disappeared. Now, wasn't there a period where nobody was able to get in contact with him, and all of a sudden he reappeared and he did a 180?
Yeah, that was when he first disappeared. You see, he left about June 11th. I think the last time I heard from him was June 10th, because that's when he was about to take off. So he said he's leaving. And then it was about, 2 weeks or so And I'm starting to wonder, where is he? You know, how long does it take to get to Europe? It only takes a couple hours. So even unless they went by boat, I didn't know how he was going. But, you know, you think 2 weeks he ought to be there. So, I started complaining. You know, at that time I was working with Daryl Smith, and I'm making remarks. You know, where is this guy? It's been 2 weeks already, or 3 weeks, or whatever it was. And that's when he starts appearing. Oh, I'm here, I'm here. No need to worry. But we could never actually talk to him. He wouldn't tell you where he was. He wouldn't say what he's doing for a living. He wouldn't tell us what continent he's on. He wouldn't even say that he was in Europe. We had no idea where he was.
And not only that, but when he left, you guys were on very good terms. You worked together, did a lot of work. You had a bond of trust for each other in the message you guys did. And then all of a sudden, after he reappeared, it was a completely different story, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I've been in contact with him all the time since about spring of 2002. That's how long. That's when he first contacted me. He was the one who contacted me, and ever since then we've been talking by phone and by email. And I even met him a few times. And he stayed at my house twice when he was traveling through the area. So we were constantly talking, and sometimes he'd even want some advice on, you know, he's writing an article, he'd want to see what I had to say about something or other, or he'd want to tell me something. All of a sudden, after he leaves the country, now he doesn't want to talk to me or anybody. It's not just me, it's everybody. He won't talk with anybody. He won't be out in public anymore. He won't call anybody on the telephone, except for this one radio station in Salt Lake City. He did that once, and now he's going to do it again. But you have to ask yourself, the sudden change in behavior, does it make sense? There's something wrong here when somebody makes this dramatic of a change for no apparent reason.
And not only that, but his articles since this point on, too, have completely dropped in substance, too. I mean, there's not... He was bringing out bombshell after bombshell of information. Now all of a sudden it's either rehashed work, some of it even had some fraudulent stuff in it, and it's like his new work is nowhere near what he was normally writing.
Well, yeah, he does come up with some good stuff still, but it's not like everyone is sensing there's something wrong here. And you see, one of the things, here's another interesting thing. One of the articles I wrote after he disappeared is this article I called The Battle Plan. You know, I make remarks, you know, that Alex Jones and others are saying they're not going to give up unless we kill him. And so what does Bullen do? He puts out an article immediately. I'm against violence. I don't believe in Hufschmid's suggestion that we behave in a violent manner. I mean, this isn't – here, you've got to think about this now. He doesn't really talk to me anymore ever since he disappeared. He's writing some strange articles. I put this article up, and then he immediately responds, oh, I don't believe in violence. This is another sign that it's the Jews writing this stuff or pressuring him to write this stuff. They don't want violence. They don't want us to get angry with them. They want us to remain fearful. They don't want us to actually pick up our guns and use them. You see what's going on here? They want us to remain nonviolent and peaceful and loving while they kill us, while they torture us, while they kidnap us, while they send us off to war. They want to destroy us, but they tell us, oh, be peaceful, be loving, pass flowers around. And so I think that when I wrote that and he responded that way, that's a sign that they are telling him, here's what you're going to write. And that is why they're pushing this all the time. Oh, be peaceful, be loving. Well, why should you be peaceful when somebody is trying to kill you? You see the same thing going on in London. I put this up on my site. Did you see that news article where this guy was in his car in London and somebody breaks his window and tries to get into his car, and the guy had a knife, and so they're fighting with each other, and the guy ends up getting stabbed with his own knife and dying, and now the guy gets... he may get arrested for murder because he killed this guy who was trying to break into his car while he's sitting in it.
Oh.
But don't you see, imagine yourself in London, somebody is coming at you with a knife, you get into a fight and he dies with his own knife, and then you are charged with murder. Don't you see what they're trying to do? They're trying to make you into this passive animal that lets other people kill you. That's what they're doing with us. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to kidnap us. And they're trying to convince us, don't be violent. That's bad. Don't fight back. Let it happen. That's what they're trying to do. And we're suckers to fall for this nonsense.
But this kind of goes around to the point, too, is like, you know, if it's Arabic or Muslim, somebody or another, and they say it's a terrorist, you know, they'll bomb the crap out of them, you know, kill them, murder them, torture them, throw them in a gulag, you know, but it's, you're right, like you're saying is, you know, forbid that we actually see who the real criminals are, and then we're supposed to be peaceful about the whole thing.
Well, that's a good point. Look at how Lieberman wants us to bomb Iran. For what?
And murder millions.
What have the Iranian people done to any of us? They haven't done anything. And then they want us to bomb North Korea. They want China and Taiwan to get into a fight. They want us to fight with Chinese. They are encouraging fights, violence, wars, and then when we start rebelling and saying, this is awful, then they, oh, be peaceful, be loving. I mean, that's nonsense. What good does it do to let them kill us? And so that's why I wrote that article. You know, I mean, if the police don't start doing something, if the military doesn't start doing something, what are we going to do? Just sit here? What has to happen? Do the citizens have to do something? I was just asking the question. I wasn't even making proposals. But what I was pointing out is that if we just continue to sit here, they are going to continue killing us, kidnapping us, starting wars. We've got to do something. Somebody has to do something. Maybe the military is doing something. Maybe they're resisting finally, but somebody has to actually do something. You can't just hide in your house and pass flowers around. You've got to do something. And unfortunately, it's either arresting them or killing them. What else is there? You don't have a choice.
Yeah, especially if you look and you actually gauge the crimes they've done and what they've asked us as people to do to people that they say are criminals. You know.
Yeah, they want us to torture and kill people. They want us to be sending Arabs off to Guantanamo. They want us to drop these horrible bombs on Arabs. What have Arabs ever done to us?
Or waterboarding our own citizens too? I mean, yeah, look at what they want. Look at what they want to do to us and everybody on the planet that's not a part of this clique, you know.
And it's all a trick. They are constantly behaving in a violent, destructive manner, but they tell us to love and be peaceful. And so this is why we either have to get the police and the military to do something, or the citizens are going to have to do something. How else do you stop this? I don't see any other method. Somehow you got to stop them. And can anybody think of a better solution?
Hopefully
our military is doing something now, because there is it really looks like they're running into major trouble now. The wars aren't going anywhere. It's possible that they are starting to wise up, and it's possible that somebody in the military is actually opposing them, but, you know, a small group. So we may have something going on right now, but
Hopefully
people won't fall for this trick that you're going to solve this problem peacefully. And listen to Alex Jones. I mean, he made a remark, I think it was yesterday, about how, again, he always calls them the they are going to capture him and pull his teeth out with pliers. You've got to think about yourself. Think about this. How does he even come up with this stuff? How does he come up with these torture methods? He does this every once in a while, how they're going to capture him and rip his teeth out with pliers. And this is in the movie The Marathon Man, something similar to that, where they're drilling into the guy's teeth without any painkiller, of course, just to torture him. Did you see that movie?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Well, anyway, you've got to ask yourself, where does he even come up with this stuff? Why does he think that people are going to capture him and rip his teeth out with pliers? Is that what you thought of? I mean, who wants to do that? I don't want to pull his teeth out with pliers. I can think of better things to do with my life than ripping his teeth out. Why does he even come up with this? You know what I think it is? This is what one of the things they're doing. He knows what they do. And he and others are probably worried that some of us will do to them what they're doing to us. And look at that Frank Weltner. Did you notice he's missing one of his teeth?
No.
Take a look at his videos. Did he lose it naturally? It's possible. But see, it's also possible that they ripped it out as a way to make him do what he's supposed to do. And look, the other thing about Boleyn, this brings up one of the very peculiar aspects of the Boleyn family after they disappeared. If you recall, after they disappeared in June and then reappeared, there were remarks coming from him and Linda Shelton that they weren't talking much because they were, his wife had medical problems and Chris was having trouble sleeping and he was having trouble eating. And you got to ask yourself, if they safely made it out of the country, they should be happy. They should be relaxed. And yet, look at what they're saying. They're under stress. His wife needs medical attention. He can't sleep. He's having trouble keeping food down. It sounds like they're being tortured. They're not people who safely escaped America. They're people who walked into a trap. And now they're prisoners somewhere and being tortured. And where are his children? You know, originally he mentioned his children. They had a photograph even. You don't even see him talk about his children anymore. So it's possible they're already dead or sex slaves somewhere, sold off.
And this is right up their alley. This is the market they like to do with children, too. I mean.
Yeah, and see, this is the other thing that's peculiar. You know, why don't any of them turn on their group? Why doesn't Alex Jones just give it up? Why does he make these remarks about, I've jumped off the bridge, the 300-foot bridge, and now I can't turn back? He's got this attitude like he can't turn back. He's going to die with the cause. Well, for what reason? What is the point? You know, why would you want to die? Why don't some of these people just turn on them? And say, I've had enough of this. I want out. Here's what's going on. Here's the people in it. I'm telling you everything I know. Why don't they? You know what it might be is they all have done so much as their initiation ceremonies that they are afraid to let us know what they've done. They're afraid of the retaliation of if Alex Jones turns them in, what they're going to, you know, all the videos that are going to start coming out of about what Alex has done.
Well, this is something I illustrated early on, too. I did a video about why Bush is so controlled. I mean, you know, when you go to Skull and Bones, what's the thing you're doing there? You're masturbating a coffin. You tell them how you slept with your sister when you were younger, whatever have you, whatever secrets that you have. You tell them everything that you would never tell anybody else, and that's what they hold over your head, you know?
Yeah, that's only embarrassing. But I think to get to the higher levels, you got to do something beyond embarrassing. You got to do something that would really upset people. And see, that may be what they do with a lot of these kidnapped people. They may say, here's your initiation ceremony, here's this child, you got to rape the child. They've got to do something more than just embarrassing for these higher level people, you see? It's got to be bad. It's got to be an initiation ceremony that they're afraid is going to come out. And so it could be that that's why all of them are going to die, you know, they're all going to go sinking with the ship. They're so afraid. And see, another thing that's interesting, I mentioned on my website, do you see how they're all pushing the CIA and Dennis Kucinich and all this? They want an investigation of those stock trades of 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a trick. The Israelis tricked some Americans, or maybe British and Japanese and others, to invest in these transactions so that they can then turn around and say, if you tell on us, we're going to tell that you knew something was coming up and you profited from it. And that's why they're willing to expose this, you see. That's why Alex Jones and the others are willing to expose this. This is not the Israelis doing it. This is a trick. This is a blackmail trap, you see.
They stay in the investigation and they control what information comes out.
Yeah, and so what they can do, though, is the people that were tricked into investing can then be threatened that, you know, do you want the information out? And look at Kucinich. Here's another one, like Ron Paul. That guy is such a pansy. Did you know he had a girlfriend for years, some Jewish girlfriend born in Israel, and he became kosher for her and learned all sorts of Israeli prayers. And the guy is so submissive. Even his current wife. No, I'm not kidding you. Even his current wife, look at the two of them together. She's like towering above him. It's like a mother and a child. This guy is a presidential candidate. The guy is, they may as well put a dog collar on this guy. This would explain why he is getting publicity and why he can go on, why even Alex Jones, a 9/11 blogger, and the other groups will promote this guy. He just does what he's told. if a man is so submissive that he's going to become, start learning all these Jewish prayers and becoming kosher for his girlfriend, you know, what is he, a leader? Or is he a child that's going to follow a woman? You see what I mean? He just does whatever his mommy tells him.
Oh,
and wow. So he's another one. Well, what is Ron Paul? I bet Ron Paul is the same way. He does what he's told. He's not a leader. And the people that are looking to him are suckers. Millions of dollars are going into that guy. Millions that we could be doing something with. And they're wasting it.
Well, they're keeping it. They're sitting on it for some reason, yeah. And that's a lot. What is it? Well over $30 million at this point. And what's being done with that?
I don't know.
You know?
It's a waste. It's a complete waste. And then look at Obama. What's with this Obama character? People need to check into his wife and him. Who is he? Who is this guy? And it could be that they were hoping he would lose, and now they're panicking because he's not, and now what are they going to do? You see the latest report that they're taking the security away from one of his meetings because there's no reason to check people for guns? I mean, what are they, setting up his assassination now?
Oh, boy.
Did you see that? Even on the Drudge reports promoting this. You see, it's possible that he is one of their puppets, but they never expected him to win. And now they got a dilemma. They don't want him.
And he could be a loose cannon and do something against
him. Well, it's possible,
yeah.
You see, it's a possibility that they didn't want him to become president. They wanted him to lose. And so now they might be worried about him, and they may have to arrange for his assassination. And the thing that's amazing is, does he even notice or care? You have to wonder about these people. Who are they? Look at Jesse Jackson. I mean, he apparently sold out to them. And who is Oprah? What is she, did she sell out to them also?
Well, I doubt she would have been comfortably where she's at this point without toting the line, that's for sure.
But she may not be totally under the control. This is the thing that may scare them a little. They may be following orders, but they may be a little bit more rebellious than someone like Hillary Clinton, and that may be why they don't want Obama. And who knows if they set up his assassination. It's amazing. But we ought to wonder who his mother is. Who is Obama's mother? You know, people call him black, but he's not black. He's half African. He's half whatever this other person is. Who is this other person? And what about his wife? We need to start being aware of all of this. Who are the Jewish connections? If his wife, if Obama's mother is Jewish, for all we know, he considers himself more of a Jew than an African or an American. And it may be that he doesn't even consider himself anything. He may just be doing this for the money or the drugs. You know what I mean? We have to be careful. You can't just trust somebody. We don't know anything about this guy.
And that's why an investigation of everybody and everything going on needs to be done. You know, it's now I wanted to get back to an issue you were bringing up earlier, like what can we do? Because I've always been, when I've done a lot of discussions where I said, you know, these people that want you to do a revolution. So I kind of want you to clarify exactly when you're saying, you know, you're not saying, oh, everybody should rise up and have a revolution, because that's what these guys do, is they also use that as
a trick. Well, that's what they want. They want the police to be looking at us as terrorists or subversive. They want a fight going. They want some type of violence, senseless violence. But that's not what that is playing into their hands. You don't want senseless violence. What people could do, if we had 10,000 people, 100,000 people, you don't have to even use violence. You just walk over to where Larry Silverstein is, you grab the guy, you take him down to the police station, and you tell him, arrest him, and that's it. There's no violence. And you can do the same thing with the Chicago police. You can go over to them, 10,000 people can say, you are going to investigate Phillips and Shelton and Boland's trial or else. What are they going to do if we have enough people? Nothing. And you see, this is where the guns come in. You don't even have to use them. You just take 10,000 people down there with the guns. You are outnumbering the police. You don't have to fire a shot. This is what they don't want you to do. What they want is the senseless violence like you see going on in Kosovo right now, where you're just running out in the streets, turning over garbage cans, burning buildings. We don't accomplish anything by burning a building. The building is not the problem. We're not going to accomplish anything by turning over a garbage can. We're not going to accomplish anything with random violence. If we had people, we could just do something without violence. Don't you see? If we had the people willing to do something. That's when and the guns don't even have to be used. They're just there as a sign that you've got them. You don't even use them. You don't need to use them. They're not. If we could outnumber them, we could go over to CBS and we could just take Mike Wallace and Wolf Blitzer or whoever works there, and then go to NBC and do the same thing and just take them down to the police station and say, that's it. We want these people investigated. We're tired of this.
Citizens arrest, basically. Like, well, they tried to do that at a college once too. What was that for? What's the advisor to Bush? They tried to do that a while ago. They tried to citizens arrest.
It has happened. If you look in the news reports, you will see every once in a while a citizen grab somebody who's trying to rob their store or something. You will see this happen. That you can do it, but you know you're not going to do it by yourself. You're not by yourself going to go over to Larry Silverstein and get away with it. They're going to call the police. But we could do this if we could just get people. And if we had $30 million, then you could even pay people to say, come on, here's $1,000, come over and help us get Larry Silverstein and Sam Newhouse and Mike Wallace. I'm sure there's people that would be willing to do it then. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, I think that that it certainly would work if you had that kind of support that Ron Paul had. And actually geared it towards obtaining some justice.
Well, yeah, all you have to do is go around the country, start picking these people up, take them to the police station, and say, that's it. We're sick of it. That's it. How hard is this? It's not that difficult. We know the people. They're operating right in front of us. You know, some of them we don't know, but some of them, they're in front of us. We can go over to Alex Jones and say, that's it. Get this guy. We've had enough. We could do it with all of them. Go over to the Scholars for 9/11 Truth and start picking them up. They've got names. They've got addresses. It's not like we have to search for these people. So all we need to do is get enough people to care or to get the police departments to care. And I think that's why Michael Moore and Alex Jones are trying to get people afraid of the police. And they're trying to get the police angry with us. And they're trying to create fights so that we don't work together. And so that the police don't even realize that they're suckers and that they're infiltrated and that they're management is under the control of all of these Zionist Jews.
And they're training, like, from the ADL and Homeland Security coming straight from Chertoff.
Yeah, and they're being fed all this nonsense about anti-Semitism and that they've got to watch for people like us. They're suckers, and they're destroying their own world, and they don't seem to realize, you know, this is their life, too, and their children, if they have children. What are they creating for their own families? They're country is deteriorating. The world is still a mess. If they would just wise up, we could put an end to this. And think about what that would do. Imagine television that's not under their control, and the economy, the discrimination that goes on in the businesses right now. Try to get a job in certain businesses. They dominate them, and they are discriminating against people. People don't realize this. That, you know, they blame the Mexicans. That when if you can't get a job, they'll say, oh, the Mexicans are taking your jobs away. It's not the Mexicans. You know, look at what's going on in this. It's especially obvious in the diamond business. They don't even let anybody in there except a certain type of Orthodox Jew. Not even the regular Jews can get in there. It's discrimination when somebody does that, but not when they do it. When they do it, it's okay. We don't say anything. But they are dominating a lot of businesses, and they're getting people fired if you're not one of them. So if we could get rid of them, we could clean this whole world up. We could do something besides have wars. We could have something on television besides all this propaganda. It's important that the police and the military realize we don't have to continue like this. We don't have to be frightened all the time. We can deal with these people.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be the ultimate goal, is that we stop killing each other and actually have do something to better humanity. And stop, you know, getting back to the core of this, you know, stop falling for the tricks and the deceptions that these people do. And you're your own victim if you fall for this, basically. You know, it's like you said, these people, they fall for the tricks, and that's what you got to do. You got to be able to decipher what they are. And, well, appreciate you having you on the show today, Eric. It was very, very enlightening, and hopefully people get this message through to them, what needs to be done, and exactly how to stay safe, and the ideas of, you know, it's not just about the facts, it's how to deal with the facts, and it's how to get it out there properly, you know.
Well, yeah, I know. Be suspicious, get the information out, and don't fall for the tricks so easily. We got to start watching out. Be aware of, don't be afraid of this word Jew. You've got to be aware of who is and who isn't a Jew. You've got to remind yourself of what happened to the Bolins. It's funny because they'll say he's anti-Semitic, but if he was so anti-Semitic, he wouldn't have been caught. If he had been avoiding anybody that was even remotely connected to Israel or Jews, he wouldn't have been caught. He would have avoided those people. You see, the trick, they're telling you he's anti-Semitic, but they caught him because he wasn't suspicious enough of these Jews. So that's what you have to realize. Who are they? You've got to be aware of that. Don't be afraid. Don't let them intimidate you into avoiding that word. Don't think you have to refer to them as the Jewish community or members of the Jewish persuasion, like Daryl Smith is always doing.
Well, it's the same thing that they sit here and try to train us like cattle to do is be suspicious of anybody that's Muslim or Arab. Like, you got to look at them with discrepancies. Well, actually, it's the opposite side of the coin, and it's the people telling you that you should be suspicious of. You know what I mean? It's the opposite.
Yeah, we have to be watching out for Jews. And they are hiding it now, more than ever. They didn't used to hide it, but now they are. They're calling themselves Christians or ignoring the issue completely. Somebody, who was it, was just trying to figure out. Oh, yeah, somebody was calling Tex Mars and asking, is it true that Alex Jones's wife is Jewish? And you know what the response is? Oh, she's a born-again Christian. Well, is she Jewish? She's a born-again Christian. This is what they won't answer the question. She is Jewish. But you see, what they don't want you to know is that they're Jewish, so they're calling themselves born-again Christians now. But we have to be aware of this. It is Jews. And don't be afraid of the word, and don't be intimidated into thinking you're anti-Semitic. You're not anti-Semitic for pointing out that they're Jews. That's what they call themselves. So it's their problem, not ours. Don't be intimidated.
Yeah, it's not a slanderous word to say that.
It's a noun. It's a noun in our word. But see, it's not anti-Semitism. When someone says you're anti-Semitic, you say it's not anti-Semitism. We are learning about the crime network, and the crime network is full of Jews. It's dominated by Jews. It's not anti-Semitism. It's an awareness of what's going on. It's an understanding that the crime network is dominated by Jews. It's not just some Italians or just some English. You know, it's a Jewish network. So don't be afraid of the word. Get them used to it. You know, if you say it enough, they'll get used to it.
Well, yeah, we got used to blaming Muslims for everything, through them pounding it into our heads, that's for sure. So, well, that'll about wrap up the show today, so we can get it under an hour, 20 minutes here, so we can get this on disc. Appreciate you being on the show today, Eric, and we're definitely going to have to do some more audio files here, man. We've been, there's so many other topics, too, we can get into, and appreciate you having on the show today.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, you have a good one. Go visit erichuffschmidt.net or hugequestions.com, and this is Mike from ProThink.org. Have a good one. Bye-bye.